Some things were so different when we were kids. I remember distinctly in the fourth grade, our teacher came in and gave us all a lecture about not smoking. They had recently just stopped airing cigarette commercials on TV. And there was a big push to recognize the dangers of tobacco use, but that day she gave a big, long lecture about the hazards of smoking. And then she sent us over to arts and crafts to make ashtrays for Mother's Day. Mixed messages. Advent itself is designed to act as a psychological and spiritual pause button. It teaches us the wisdom of waiting and offers us a very countercultural choice to embrace persistent, expectant patience. Even psychology affirms the essential role of waiting in our emotional development. I recall there was a famous marshmallow experiment in which researchers at Stanford told 5 and 6-year-old children that they could eat the marshmallow that researchers put on a table in front of them, but if they waited 15 minutes alone with the single marshmallow, they could eat 2. The researchers then checked in with these same kids for decades. And it's a fact that those who waited, delaying instant gratification, were more likely to score higher on SAT tests, had better social skills, and were less likely to engage in substance abuse or to be obese. Patience, it turns out, is healthy. The qualities those children needed to develop to restrain their impulse for instant gratification were memory and their attention span, developing with discipline to wait. Those same skills are necessary for us during Advent. Jennifer Gregory Miller, a Catholic writer and a catechist of the Good Shepherd, reminds us, the third Sunday of Advent is known as Gaudete Sunday because of the first word rejoice in the introit or entrance antiphon of Sunday's liturgy. Rejoice is also repeated throughout the readings and prayers. The liturgy of the third Sunday of Advent is full of rejoicing texts. All ages can read from the day's liturgy to count the times of rejoicing. Children are encouraged to count them to make it a little detective game. But the liturgy itself reflects the interior joy we should have at all times. The Reverend Father Edward Sutphin, in his True Christmas Spirit, shares a beautiful description of this day. This Sunday introduces us into the second half of the season of Advent, and at the opening of Martins, our anxiety and joy are given impetus. The Lord is already near. Come, let us adore him. The entire week is one of the richest of the entire year of grace, for during this week fall the magnificent Ember Days, and the beginning of the O Antiphon. antiphons. These antiphons are prayed at Vespers every evening from December 17th through the 23rd. I encourage you to listen to them. December 17th, O wisdom of our God Most High, guiding creation with power and love, come to teach us the path of knowledge. December 18th, O leader of the house of Israel, giver of the law to Moses on Sinai, come to rescue us with your mighty power. December 19th, O root of Jesse's stem, sign of God's love for all his people, come to save us without delay. December 20th, O key of David, opening the gates of God's eternal kingdom, come and free the prisoners of darkness. December 21st, O radiant dawn, splendor of eternal life, Son of justice, come and shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. December 22nd, O King of all nations and keystone of the church, come and save man whom you formed from the dust. December 23rd, come Emmanuel, our King and giver of law. Come to save us, Lord our God. Each of these antiphons asks our Savior to come with his saving power and eternal life and light. All of us are to become like children starting from the Sunday, for we should be unable to restrain our impatience at the coming of our Savior. Our joy urges us to celebrate as they begin to celebrate in the great Basilica of St. Peter and all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world, so that all humankind may share it with us. The penitential violet of Advent has been changed to rose. And at the gospel, even the precursor announces to the city, he is in our midst. Christ the Lord is even today present through his grace, as he will be with us forever in glory. The world, however, is not waiting in joyful hope for the coming of Jesus. The whole event for the world is really seen as a nuisance, ultimately because Jesus is coming to judge the world. That is why there is such a movement to silence him. Much like they did when he opened his earthly ministry in his home synagogue, and they wanted to stone him. It's not by chance that we heard that same gospel reading as our first reading today, as one he read in opening his earthly ministry. There was not only an advent for his birth, awaiting an expectation, but there was one for him to begin his ministry to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. This is a coming we are to be preparing ourselves for every day. Daily preparation to receive the word of God as he is proclaimed every day at Mass, every day in the liturgy of the hours. Too many, though, are expectant, for Mass to be over, rather than relishing being in the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. Think about it. How privileged we are for His presence to be with us actively, proclaiming the same gospel of the kingdom, saving souls all these 2,000 years and many years ahead of us. For Christ Jesus speaks to us and is living and present in the liturgy and in the Word, which is the heart of our Eucharistic revival, to prepare ourselves daily to greet Him, to make room for Him in the inn. For Pope Pius XII in Mediator Dei explains that the liturgy is not a cold and lifeless representation of the events of the past, or a simple and bare record of a former age. It is rather Christ Jesus Himself, who is ever living in His church. Dei Verbum, the Second Vatican Council's dogmatic constitution on divine revelation, further this by stating, the Church has always venerated the divine scriptures, just as she venerates the body of the Lord, since especially in the sacred liturgy, she unceasingly receives and offers to the faithful the bread of life from the table of both God's word and of Christ's body.